I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first thing we have on tonight is the commendations for the Stanislaus County Outstanding Senior Citizens of the Year and Celebration of the Older American Month. Mickey Peabody, are you here?
I don't know if I can be a Mickey Peabody. But
no, you're not Mickey Peabody. No, you're not Mickey Peabody.
Good evening, supervisors and everyone. Welcome to our celebration. As you said, it is May is the month for older Americans, and we're here tonight as a tradition to celebrate and to recognize and to honor five of the senior recipients of the award. They have been nominated from the public for their outstanding service, and there's one thing that Stanislaus County has and has a lot of, and that's really, really wonderful people. The decision to choose five each year is very, very hard. But we have narrowed it down to the cream of the crop for this evening. And we'll start off with Supervisor O'Brien's district, district number one. And I am very proud to introduce Mr. Ferris Parker from Oakdale.
Nobody gets off easy. You all have to come up here.
Good evening, Ferris. I represent District 1, and I'm a little bit partial because I think we are the number one district, but some of my colleagues might beg to differ. But Ferris, tonight we're here to honor you for all the great things you do in our community. And I'm going to just recap a little bit of what Ferris has done. Back in the late 1950s, he served for 3 years in the U.S. Army. Ferris volunteers at the Oakdale Senior Mills site 5 days a week, serving meals and helping with kitchen cleanup. Volunteers at his church, helping in the kitchen area with cleanup. And he helps disabled seniors and his neighbors with various small tasks around their homes. Mr. Parker, thank you for everything you do, and you keep yourself very busy. Tonight I'm going to present to you a couple of things. First of all, it's a resolution from the Board of Supervisors congratulating you and thanking you for all you do. Great. And one more great thing. This is a book that has several letters from everywhere from Stanislaus County, from Senator Dianne Feinstein, Congressman Cardoza, California State Legislature, from the Senate, and I thought I saw something in here from Senator Boxer as well. So all kinds of letters congratulating you and thanking you for everything you've done. Sir, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you.
A man of few words. And to continue, on behalf of the Stanislaus County Commission on Aging and the Board of Supervisors, I would like to introduce Supervisor Mayfield, 2nd District, Mr. and Mrs. Jim and Gladys Halverson. And Jim is not able to be here with us tonight. I understand he's in the hospital, but Gladys is here. So Gladys, please.
If I pass out on you, please have them help me.
No, you won't pass out. On behalf of the board and myself, I'm sorry about your husband couldn't make it tonight, but this is a resolution. I guess it's what this is, you know, I may get in that class pretty soon, but the things that you and your husband have been doing for a long time. I won't read them all, but you've been really active in helping other people other than yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
I think my husband deserves all the attention, but he can't be here tonight. I said to someone tonight that he did all the work, and I was just his gopher. So I go for everything he needs.
Yeah. But on behalf of myself and the board, and after the first guy gives out his book, there's no use saying it all. All the same things are in here from all the people that we vote for. Okay? Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Supervisor Grover's 3rd District, we have Jane Williams was the winner. And do you have anything for her or to say? Well, she's not able to be here tonight. She has an accident. So anyway, we do want to recognize that it was Jane Williams. She won for that district. Then we'll go on to Supervisor Monteith, and he's not here, but I understand Supervisor Mayfield is going to do the honors for District 4. And it's Miss Catherine Hackett. Catherine?
I was talking to Catherine downstairs before we came up. Catherine's 95. And I said, oh, my God, I hope I make it to 95. Yeah. Catherine, on behalf of myself and the board, Dick can't be here. This is a resolution. Okay, and I won't read everything you've done, but quite truthfully, people like you and your husband, you keep us going.
I have a passion for doing classwork.
You got to hold that up there.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a passion for doing classwork and flower arranging. I've been doing this for all my life. So I made it sort of a job that when I volunteered, this is what I was going to do. So I went up to the hospital, and they said, I made some flower arrangements for the patients. And you have to know when you work in a hospital about these people. You love them at the end. Some of them get upset and some of them follow me around and hang on to my arm and say, are you coming back? They always whisper. And I say, yeah, I'll be back. So I did 15 tables and arranged the flowers for them in the dining area. I came out in front, and my daughter said, they want to know if you'll do the entrance. And I said, oh, okay, I'll try. So now they turned around and said, we need a pumpkin. I do ceramics. We need a pumpkin for Halloween. I said, all right, it's on the working bench now. So then they said something about Christmas. I said, stop right there.
Supervisor DeMartini, 5th District, and we have Mary Barcelos. Mary?
Well, Mary, I also have a certificate there from the Board of Supervisors recognizing your volunteer efforts and your service to the community for many years. Just on some of the highlights that we've got here is you volunteered with the Catholic Church for a number of years. You were a PTA member, worked as room mother, Secretary of the Orestimba High School Booster Club, and you worked on raising money for various things from the FFA to the West Side Theater in Newman. So I think this is the first time that we've had somebody from Newman since I've been on the board here, so I'm really glad to see that. So Newman's a nice town. The West Side Theater was certainly a project that was well worth raising money for. So congratulations for your service to the community. Give you this. This is a resolution from the board. See how nice that is. It's a pretty. We don't do resolutions very often. And then also, we have the book here from our letters from our U.S. senators to our California legislature, city of Newman, down. So there's quite a few in here. So it's quite a collection of people congratulating you for your service to the community. So I thank you for that. And how about saying a few words to our audience?
Well, thank you very much. I just hope I can do as well as Catherine did, because I think it's marvelous. She's 95 and still going strong.
Okay. Congratulations, Sam. I've got a ways to go. I'm only 39.
Well, as an old farmer's daughter from Turlock, I learned early on that the sweetest cream always rises to the top. And I think we can all testify to that tonight. Let's give them all another hand, please.
Thank you. The second presentation we have tonight is the Stanislaus County Recycling Poster Contest winners, Denise London.
Good evening. I'm Denise London from the Department of Environmental Resources. And each spring, the Department of Environmental Resources holds a recycling poster contest for the students in kindergarten through eighth grade within the 36 schools in the unincorporated area of Stanislaus County. Well, this is our fourth contest, and I'm proud to say it continues to grow and get more exciting every year. And on your way into the chambers, you may have noticed a beautiful display of artwork, and that display is showcasing our 2008 poster contest winners. So please take a moment on your way out this evening to admire the young talent in our community. This year's winners will be able to experience having their winning artwork highlighted in the 2009 Stanislaus County Recycling Calendar. The calendar will be finished at the end of the year and is distributed throughout the county to the schools, the cities, libraries, to the county officials, and at numerous public events. And kids, when the calendar arrives, I'll give you a call and let you know, and I'll mail you as many copies as you need. But we would not be here tonight without the support of some very important people whom I would like to thank. First, I want to thank the teachers. I understand the pressures you're under to teach to the state standards, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to incorporate environmental education into your curriculum. It's obvious by looking at the poster entries that you took the time to teach, and thus raise the awareness level of your students on how to be responsible citizens and environmental stewards of our planet. By giving your kids the opportunity to participate in the poster contest, they are now in a position to teach others. Next, to the parents of our winners, thank you so much for being here tonight and taking the time to support and share this exciting time with your child. This is a moment that they will remember all their lives, and it's made more special and memorable because you're here to celebrate their achievement and share in their excitement. Thank you. And lastly, to our winners, thank you for your beautiful creative artwork about recycling. I'm so proud of what you've done, and you should be very proud of yourselves, too. Your posters will be teaching thousands of people in Stanislaus County about recycling and taking care of our earth. You might not have ever thought of yourselves as an artist and a teacher, but guess what? Each of you is an artist, a teacher, and a winner. And when it comes right down to it, this is your calendar. I just put it all together. It's going to be a very exciting time between now and the end of the year when the calendar comes out, and I'll be staying in touch with all of you and your families who always know what's going on. You guys are awesome. Okay, are you ready to get your awards? Okay, first from the kindergarten, first grade division, third place winner from Hunt Elementary in Newman, Mrs. Freda's class is kindergartner, Miss Lauren Cooper. Again, kindergarten to first place. Second place, again, from Hunt Elementary in Newman, Mrs. Freitas' class. Kindergartner, Miss Riley Maroquin. First place winner, kindergarten through first grade division, again from Hunt Elementary in Newman in Mrs. Freitas' class, kindergartner, Miss Victoria Landeros. Second to third grade division, third place, from Las Palmas Elementary in Patterson, Mrs. Romo's class, third grader Joel Urbina. Is Joel here? Okay. Second to third grader, second place, from Empire Elementary, in Empire, Kathy Olson's class, third grader, Eileen Gonzalez. Okay, first place in the second to third grade division, again from Empire Elementary in Empire, and Miss Kathy Olson's class, third grader, Mr. Sergio Maravilla. Okay, through the fourth through sixth grade category, third place from Stroud Elementary in Empire and teacher Monique Preciado. We have fifth grader, Miss Lauren Scotchko. Okay, second place in the fourth through sixth grade division from Keys Elementary in Keys, from Ms. Fitzgerald's class, fourth grader, Mr. Ulysses Telez.
There he is. Hey, you. Congratulations.
Okay, first place in the fourth through sixth grade division from Shiloh School, Modesto, teacher Mrs. Van Ness, sixth grader Roberto Garcia. Okay, third place in the 7th through 8th grade category from Shiloh School, Modesto, teacher Mr. Wilhite, 7th grader Madeline Kelly. Where's Maddie? There she is. Okay, second place in the 7th through 8th grade category from Teal Middle School in Empire, teacher Ms. Correa, 7th grader Ms. Alexis Rushing. Alexis? Okay, I guess she's not here. Now, first place in the 7th to 8th grade division from Denair Middle School in Denair, teacher Rhonda Byrd, 8th grader Hannah Gallardo. There she is. How about a big hand for our 2009 recycling poster winners?
We're going to lose half our people. Just wait. We just wait a second to let them all get out, okay? Okay, this is the public comment period. I have two people who would like to speak. Clay Pierce. Hi, Clay.
It's my second time here. But for your relief, DeMartini, this will be my last. I'm mad. I've asked you people, all of you, to work with the city instead of one side of the street, the city, one side, the sheriff's office. Work and help us with the crime. You didn't. I got burglarized for several thousand dollars 2 weeks ago Sunday. The people that stole it, the gangbangers next door to me. You guys don't do, all you have to do is work together. You got a sheriff that's afraid of him and the other one that went against him in the election. They tried to appease me the first time and he lied to me. I'm sick of this, and this time it cost me money. Lots of money. And you guys could have done something about it. All you have to do is meet with the city and work out a deal on those. One side of the street shouldn't be their place and your place. Work together. I will never report a crime again. And I've put in a lot of them since I've been out there. You call your office, you return calls? No. I had the neighbor lady call, you return her call. I don't like this. So I'm not coming anymore. And I'll tell you and the sheriff also why I won't come again. I'm setting up my own protection out there. I'll take the law in my own hands. I had a lot more to say, but thank God you had those kids first. They were sweet. But I got a lot in my mind for all of you, and especially you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Second one we have public comment is Brian Frost.
Good evening, board members and fellow citizens. First item, the federal budget of the United States, our federal budget is approximately $3 trillion. Two-thirds, or roughly $2 trillion, is spent on defense. How many of us spend two-thirds of our budgets on security? While we would never consider to neglect our armed forces, to neglect the funding of critical community services such as police, fire, and especially schools and libraries would be imprudent, unwise, wholly lacking common sense. I encourage you, our leaders, to argue for increased tax dollars to remain in our local communities. Item two, Public Works. Several months ago, I contacted our Public Works concerning the ill health of our elms on Loletta Avenue. I've not received a call back, so I'm here tonight to urge Public Works to contact the City of Portland's Public Works. Portland has a beautiful central park lined with elms. While visiting there, I was able to speak with a worker who was tending the urban forest of beautiful elms. He stated that their Public Works injects a kind of antifungal into their elms to help protect against mistletoe. We lost two elms to mistletoe today on Loletta, and it's really sad to see our urban forest decay in such a way. So let's not lose any more. Would someone please contact Portland's Public Works to kind of harmonize or learn from them on how to protect our elms? Thank you.
Thank you. We have two more. Warren, you want to speak about, but I'll just speak when the issue comes up, okay? And Betty Parker will do the same thing, okay? Rick, you have something?
Yes, it is my pleasure to announce this evening a new department head who is with us on her second day in the job. I would like to say that that Chris Applegate was selected after a statewide recruitment, and I'm particularly pleased because we sold her away from Tehama County, and which many of you know is my prior county. Chris comes to Stanislaus County with extensive experience in social services programs and is our new community services agency director. She was a director in Tehama County, a director in Glenn County, and then worked in a management capacity with Butte County prior to that. So she does have extensive experience, and we are very, very pleased to have Chris join us and in our management team. Welcome aboard.
If I was guessing, I thought that might be you. Okay, welcome aboard. Okay, with that, we'll go down to the consent calendar. Would any supervisor like to pull anything? Nobody said anything. Let's like a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in. You got it. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, now we go down to 6:35, public hearing.
Chairman Mayfield, board members, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, my name's Laurie Haw, County Auto Controller, and with me today is Ted Feligas. Before you today is a request to establish the property tax admin fee for fiscal year 07-08. To set the stage for your consideration of these fees, it's important to briefly look at the history of this program. With the passage of the state budget in 1990-1991, funding for Stanislaus County programs were severely cut. To partially make up for these cuts and avoid significant reduction in critical county-funded programs, the legislature and the governor granted counties authority to recover costs of the property tax administration from all taxing jurisdictions. During the 1991-92 legislative session, just the following year, change was made to revenue and taxation code to exempt school districts, community college districts, and county offices of education from property tax administration fees, thus becoming once again a county cost. In the following year, a legislative session, the state made various changes to the revenue and taxation code, which including allowing the recovery of the property tax admin costs related to the shifted revenue to schools, commonly referred to as ERAF. In 1994-95 legislative session, language was added to state code that recognized that the county was bearing a disproportionate share of county administration and reaffirmed the authority to recover from local agencies their proportionate share of these costs. A few years later, the state eliminated the authority of the county to charge the Educational Revenue Augmentation Fund for property tax administration costs. At the same time, the law was changed allowing the Auditor Controller to include the assessments appeals board expenses in calculating the costs. It also provides for offset setting property tax allocations in the amount of recovery of costs as opposed to invoicing the taxing agencies. Beginning in fiscal year 2004-2005, the collection and distribution of in-lieu vehicle license fees and certain sales tax received by local agencies was changed dramatically with the passage of SB 1096, and that's known as the Budget Act of 2004. Vehicle license fees were permanently rolled back, and one quarter of the 1% local sales tax was obligated by the state for payment of debt issued to balance the state's budget. These revenues were replaced by property tax funds administered by counties. To fund the distribution of these revenues, the law provided for the diversion of property taxes from the Educational Revenue Augmentation Fund, ERAF, to the local agencies. Previously, local agencies received these revenues directly from the state. As a result of these changes, the county and cities began receiving a larger portion of funds generated from property taxes. Revenue and Taxation Code 97.75 authorizes a county to impose a fee that shall not exceed the actual cost of providing these services. The actual costs are defined under Revenue and Taxation Code 95.3 and are used to reimburse the county for actual costs. The legislature also implemented ERAF 3, which was a two-year transfer of property taxes from local agencies to the Educational Revenue Augmentation Fund. This was done to reduce the obligation of the state to backfill schools. The statewide total of ERAF 3 was about $1.3 billion statewide, and that was in each of the following 2 years. The costs associated with the property taxes transferred for ERAF 3 could not be charged against the taxing agencies, including cities. The guidelines for implementing SB 1096 was a culmination of efforts and included a number of associations and state agencies, including the State Controller's Office, CSAC, League of Cities, Legislative Analyst Office, Department of Finance, and others. There has been and continues to be a difference of opinion about the application of Revenue and Taxation Code sections that allow the county to obtain reimbursement for property tax services. The League of Cities interpretation is that these sections added by SB 1096 limited the recovery of costs to marginal expenses only. Since the adoption of the property tax fees last year, there's been several meetings, series of communications between the California State Association of Counties, the League of Cities, and the State Comptroller's Office, and most recently the County Councils Association, in an attempt to resolve this difference of opinion. To date, a resolution and consensus has not been reached between CSAC and the League of Cities, and that is ongoing at this moment. The County Councils Association did prepare a legal opinion in support of the property tax administration fee guidelines, which is included in your packet today. The property tax administration fee study before you today was prepared in conformity with the adopted statewide property tax administration guidelines. The legislature, recognizing the potential impact of the higher fee for the in-lieu vehicle license fees and sales tax for cities, prohibited the imposition of the higher fee for fiscal years 04-05 and 05-06. Revenues for services provided by the four departments and revenue for adding direct assessments to the tax roll are also deducted before the net costs are spread to taxing agencies. Property tax sharing agreement calculations are also considered in the property tax study. The total calculated net property administration costs applicable to fiscal year 07-08 totals $6,291,129. And the summary is up on the board. General fund, it's $1,584,967. Schools, which is not recoverable, is $2,939,559. Cities, $1,089,671. Redevelopment agencies, $460,496. And special districts, $216,436. And that brings us down to the total. The allocated revenue to the individual departments is as follows. The assessor's office gains $1,370,104. The auditor controller's office, $93,835. Tax collector, $264,693. The assessment appeals board is $24,619 for a total of $1,753,251. Well, we're asking you to approve the following recommendations. First, adopt the property tax administration cost recovery plan. Secondly, approve the report determining that the property tax admin costs for fiscal year 06-07 are $6,291,129. And establishing the proportion of said costs attributable to incorporated cities and other jurisdictions for fiscal year 2007-2008. And then finally, authorize the collection of said costs pursuant to the provisions of Revenue and Taxation Code 95.3, 97.75, and Stanislaus County Ordinance Code Section 4.45010. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Is there any questions that you'd like to ask, Bill?
How about over here?
I'm just curious how you come up with a figure for the special districts of $216,000. What kind of criteria did you use for that? And does that include things like the cemetery districts and healthcare districts?
If there's a special district that receives property taxes, then they receive a portion of the expense, but that's how it's allocated out. Typically, let's say if you have a brand new district, they may not receive any property tax receipts at all, in which case there's no charge. But if there is a special district and they do receive property taxes, more than likely they will receive a portion of that expense allocated to them. We do, especially with special districts, we do charge a small fee to put the direct assessments for special districts on property tax rolls, and that is deducted or offset, so they're not charged twice.
Okay, so this would be the fire districts and healthcare districts and cemetery districts and all that. And some of the budgets for these things are pretty minimal as it is.
Yes.
Of these. Okay, that answers my question.
Jim, is that a motion to approve?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Motion to. Then I'll need a second. Public hearing. I'm sorry.
Public hearing.
You're right. Yes, this is a public hearing. I'll give you all a chance to speak. Okay. Anybody in the audience like to speak to the board about this? Look at him run up here. No, I'm going to bring it back to the board. Okay.
I'll second Supervisor DeMartini's motion.
Okay, DeMartini and Jeff Grover second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. We're still waiting. We're going to go to B11. We'll hold off on B10. We need some people to get here yet. Okay, so let's go to B11, which would be. Oh, that's Vanessa. Vanessa, come on up and talk to us. Are you going to talk about the library?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to talk about the library.
Pardon me?
I am going to talk about the library.
Oh, I figured you might. Okay.
Good evening, Chairman Mayfield, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. To reduce and force 3 full-time library positions. Our county free library system was established in 1911. It created a county and city model for partnering for the delivery of library services, and that's been successful for the last 97 years. You may remember that Prop 13 passed in 1978. During the next decade, cities and counties throughout California began to experience the negative effects of reduced property tax revenue. This is true for Stanislaus County. The library's funding challenges began in earnest in 1986 when the budget was cut by 50% in response to fiscal problems created by state budget actions. Then in 1992, library revenue from cities in the county was cut again by 40% after the state reduced property taxes by more than $3 million. And each budget cut.
Are we all set?
Yes,
okay.
So each budget cut was accompanied by a large reduction in force, subsequent drop in hours, and services to the public. By 1994, the Modesto Library was open just 27 hours per week, and the smaller branches only 10 hours per week. The library was unable to provide children's and teen programs and services. It could not offer telephone reference or access to electronic resources. That year, only 12,400 books and materials were purchased, as opposed to the 84,000 that were purchased in fiscal year 2006-2007. The Library Advisory Board reported to the Board of Supervisors in February of 1994 that a fundamental change in funding to maintain an acceptable level of services was warranted. The recommendation was for a dedicated 1/8 cent sales tax. This 1/8 cent tax, approved by the voters in 94, in 1999, and again in 2004, has become the library's primary source of revenue. The current sales tax will sunset June 30th of 2013. This tax allowed services to be restored. The Modesto Library open 7 days a week, medium-sized branch libraries open 6 days a week, and smaller branches 5 days a week. Information services and reference are available at all sites. Children and teen services such as story times, class visits, special program, and summer reading club are also available. Summer reading club starts June 1st. And also we have Reader's Advisory, Traveling Tales program, interlibrary loan, homebound delivery services, and adult literacy tutoring services available now. But due to the poor economy in the valley and the nationwide recession, the library expects a significant reduction in revenue for fiscal year 2008-2009. We're projecting a 12% decline in sales tax to about $8 million, which is 85% of the library's funding. The governor is cutting state support for the California Library Literacy Services Program by 10%, and transaction rate-based reimbursement funds by 10%. And the library does not expect to receive state public library foundation's funds of $250,000 because they're based upon maintenance of effort. So all told, this will be a 66% reduction of state funds. The library will also see a 3% reduction in county general fund contribution and a reduction in local revenues. At the same time, our operating costs are increasing. It's anticipated that overhead costs will increase more than 16%. These include negotiated salary increases, healthcare costs, and utilities. The library will see the county's cost allocation plan charges increase for janitorial, maintenance, groundskeeping, vehicle maintenance, and fuel. Cost to purchase books and materials is expected to increase more than 2%, and for periodicals and magazines, 3.5%. As we began preparing for fiscal year 08-09 budget, we found that we were facing about a $3 million budget gap in order to maintain current levels of service. Originally, we'd thought that we could close the gap by taking some cost-saving measures, but then we found those to be inadequate. We then proposed to reduce the number of operating hours per week by closing each branch an additional 2 days per week and the Modesto Library one additional day per week. However, out of concern for the enormous impact that this would have on the citizens that we serve, we returned to the budget and we revised that plan to minimize its impact upon our community. We found additional cost savings in other areas. And Mr. Tuval will address this revised plan for you.
Good evening. Library's revised service plan includes closing each of the branches one additional day per week and closing the Modesto Library on Sundays for savings of approximately $1.1 million in staffing and related costs. In order to maintain a high level of customer service, a regional approach was taken to determine the additional closed day at each location. When one particular branch is closed, another relatively close by is open. For example, the Patterson Library is open when Newman is closed. Oakdale is open when the Riverbank Library is closed. This minimizes how far our customers will have to travel to find an open library. Availability of full-time staff to be assigned to assist at other locations was taken into account to maximize savings with the additional day of closure. We also strive to maintain evening hours at branches where they are currently provided, and when possible, slower days were chosen for closing. Maintaining core services and the particular roles of individual branches were taken into account for the convenience of our customers. Although fewer titles will be purchased, customers will still be able to find bestsellers, materials for homework help, and books in a wide variety of subjects. Reference, internet assistance, and checking out materials will continue to be available at each location during open hours. All libraries will still provide story times, and most on the same day of the week that they are currently offered. The library's summer reading club for children and teens will continue at all branches. The importance of Empire to the after-school crowd and the focus of the Keys Library in serving children on the campus of the Keys Elementary School are examples of roles that we also wanted to factor in when deciding when to close. Online services, such as placing holds on particular books or DVDs, renewing items checked out, finding and reading full-text magazine articles, and submitting email reference requests, continue to be accessible by computer when the library is both open and closed. The library staff remain committed to providing the highest level of customer service possible within the given resources.
It's always difficult to make cuts to the library because it impacts so very much. Material vendors who provide free shipping, we can save approximately $10,000 a year on that. Removing the enhanced content from the library's online catalog, those are usually pictures of book covers. Cutting staff travel and training by 50%. Deferring facilities maintenance unless it's a safety issue. And cutting it down to $173,340. Cutting our books and materials budget from $1.2 million to a little over $500,000. Continuing the hiring freeze that we already put in place at the library during mid-year. Reducing part-time extra help labor costs 48% per week by reducing the staff 16% from 138 part-time employees to 68. And then we're recommending deleting 3 full-time positions, which leaves the library 96 full-time positions. Of those, we're leaving 7 full-time positions open and vacant. We recommend downgrading 1 full-time position to a library assistant 2 classification. And despite all these measures, the library must still rely on a $1.2 million fund balance reserve to balance this budget. This refined plan allows us to keep libraries open more days and still make the needed cuts that have to be done. We do not anticipate any other reductions in fiscal year 08-09. The city managers and municipal advisory councils are aware of this. Our local Friends of the Library groups, there are 9 of them, our Library Foundation and our Library Advisory Board have been kept informed, and they're working with us as well. And Mrs. Holmes is going to talk with you about how we plan to inform the public of these changes.
We plan to inform the public in the following ways: handouts for customers visiting the library, monthly calendars, which approximately 6,000 people receive by email, and another 1,400 hard copies are available at all library branches and various community locations, including the Modesto Chamber of Commerce and 10th Street Place. Hours will be posted at all libraries, including those of nearby branches, and our webpage, stanislauslibrary.org. We will also utilize local newspapers and public access television to get the word out to the general public.
Thank you. The managers and I would like to express our appreciation for the support that the library has received from the Chief Executive Office's budget staff. The CEO's HR division has been a tremendous support to us in assisting us with reduction in force. They are optimistic that they'll be able to place all 3 full-time employees in other county positions. Also, our thanks to Workplace Wellness for facilitating meetings with all of our staff and for their assistance and encouragement during this trying and emotional time. It's still painful because we are cutting hours, books and materials, and staff, but this will help us preserve public access to library resources, and that's our goal. Without that 1/8 of a cent sales tax, there would not be a Stanislaus library system today. And we pledge to closely monitor the tax and other revenues with the intention of returning to this board as soon as it's feasible to begin restoring hours and services. The staff recommendations are to approve the revised library operating hours effective June 30th, 2008. Approve the reduction in force of 3 full-time filled positions and the downgrade of 1 full-time filled position in the library budget effective July 1st, and to amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect the recommended changes as outlined. And we'd be happy to address any comments you may have.
Is there any questions of staff?
I do, Mr. Chairman. You said that we do not qualify for public library foundation funds, and you said it was because of lack of maintenance of effort.
Right.
Can you explain what you mean by that? Is that because we're cutting the funding? Is that I'm not sure how we qualify for
it's
that.
Because our budget will drop lower than it is this fiscal year. And as soon as it falls, then we don't qualify. It's got to be the same or greater than the previous fiscal year. So we probably won't qualify for the funds this year. Oh. Next year, maybe.
Where do those come from? The state of California?
Yes, it comes from the state of California. They're the only direct funds that go right to libraries that we can use in any way we need.
So then this year, the state of California may put nothing into our libraries?
Next fiscal year.
Yeah, this. And then the nine cities that we have in the county, they contribute nothing towards the library, isn't that right?
They don't contribute monetarily, no.
Mm-hmm. And I had talked to the cities in my district and gave them what it would cost them to operate their libraries. The cities, as I understand, would have the option of keeping their library open that extra day if they come up with the money themselves.
Right. If they came up with a per diem cost, then we would be more than pleased to work with them. If they're unable to do that, and they might be able to come up with some money to augment the book budget, too.
Well, you have the cost.
Right.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry, it's small.
Okay. I've been to all three of my cities and told them this. So that means that we would actually absorb some of their overhead costs, too, if they could keep their library open.
Yes.
So that's, I realize the cities have their own budgetary problems this year, too, but if they want to make a commitment to the library, we have a good deal for them. Okay, that's all the questions I have.
They didn't want to do it?
Well, they're thinking about it. I gave them the numbers.
They're thinking, okay.
I gave them the numbers.
Okay, all right. Warren, did you want to speak on this tonight before we take a vote?
Yes, I would.
Thank you. Okay, move right up there then.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm here representing the Empire community. I'm concerned because you're closing my library Friday, Saturday, and Sunday rather than another day. I'm not having any weekend days available for my community. I was wondering why they couldn't just reduce hours at each library and keep the same number of days. I don't know if that's possible, but I would rather have 5 days at 5 hours a day rather than 4 days at 6 hours a day. Empire, Houston, and Denier are the lowest, receiving the lowest hours, number of hours of operation. Keys, which is similar in size to Empire, is getting almost twice as many hours of their library operation as my community does. And I also don't understand why the cities don't have to contribute to upkeep or financial support of the library when they get all the services that are provided. I don't know what the rules were or who made the rules, but it seems to me that the rules should be changed so that the cities would be required to provide some financial support, realizing that everyone has budget problems. I don't know if this decision was made in 1911, it's about time to look at it again, I would say, to see if we can get some more financial support from the cities. But I really would like to see our library open on one weekend day. And like I say, I'd rather see it open less hours, more days a week than less days and more hours. Thank you.
Thank you, Warren. I can't go back to 1911. but Vanessa, you want to tackle that?
Well, actually, the cities up until 1994 did contribute to the libraries, but they had budget problems as well. So in return for their support of the sales tax by their city councils and by the cities themselves, they did not contribute to the libraries anymore.
So what you're saying is if they want better service, they're going to come up with the cash.
If that's what you're saying,
that's what I'm. I'm just putting in everyday language. If they want more service, they're going to have to come up with some money.
Yes.
Okay. Now, any other comment? Then we need to move ahead of this. And I don't know if you can answer Warren's questions or not. But if you'd like to talk to her, Warren, you can get her after the meeting. Okay. We need a motion. To approve it.
So moved.
Moved by Bill O'Brien.
I'll second it.
Second by Jeff Grover. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Thank you for.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go down to B12. I'm intentionally skipping B10 until a later date, but I will get back to it. This is a consideration of illegal dumping status report and approval of the continuation of illegal dumping abatement activities and residential bulky item collection program, environmental resources, and that would be Sonia Herrenfeld and Jamie Eggers. She's not here tonight. That's not Jamie sitting next to you.
No, that is not.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Good evening, Chairman Mayfield, members of the board, Sonia Herrenfeld, Director of Environmental Resources. With me this evening is Deputy Earl, and also joining us this evening will be our Director of Public Works, Matt Machado. Illegal dumping has and continues to be a problem in the unincorporated area of the county. This problem is very harmful to our residents, has potential environmental contamination. We also experience a significant amount of cost in the cleanup in the unincorporated areas, as well as it provides a negative perception of our community. The Department of Environmental Resources over the past fiscal year has spent approximately $318,000 in contractual services with the Sheriff's Department. We pay for one custodial deputy at approximately $90,000 a year and two sheriff's detectives at $228,000 a year, as well as the cost of the operation of the Oakdale bulky item collection program at approximately $71,000 a year. In addition, other departments are also major contributors in the fight against illegal dumping, and this would be our Planning and Community Development, which is the redevelopment agency, budgets approximately $40,000 a year for our neighborhood cleanups, and they also budget approximately $15,000 that is specifically targeted to the weed and seed area. We have a current task force, which consists of members of the Board of Supervisors, the Chief Executive Office, Planning and Community Development, Environmental Resources, District Attorneys, Sheriffs, and Public Works. And now I'd like to turn the presentation over to Detective Earl.
Deputy Earl. Good evening, sirs. Currently, as of from April 1st, 2007 to March 31st, 2008, we picked up 858 tons of refuse from 1,609 locations throughout the county. We're handling approximately 10 to 15 calls per week this year with the inmate work crews, and last year we handled 25 to 30 calls per week. And again, we're picking up approximately 858 tons of rubbish was picked up from April 2007 to March 2008. And it was estimated that 942 tons of rubbish was picked up the previous year. Our current turnaround time is at 0 to 3 days versus the previous year at 57 days. Two sheriff's deputies are responsible for investigation and conviction of illegal dumping, Current cost to DER is $228,072. Result is in with five or less convictions a year, and they're recommending the program will be discontinued effective July 1st, 2008. Surveillance equipment was purchased and used on a trial basis throughout the county. At this time, it was deemed unsuccessful as they experienced difficulty with the camera angles and the heights to prevent theft of the cameras. And this operation will also be discontinued.
One of the biggest problems that we experience relates to tires. In the previous year, we picked up almost 6,000, or we picked up over 6,000 tires in the unincorporated area. This past year, we're estimating that we picked up 5,611 tires, which is approximately an 8% reduction, but it's still a significant problem in the unincorporated area. Partnering with our franchise companies, we have done route audits during this past year. We identified 374 addresses that were not receiving garbage service. 188 of those addresses were brought into compliance. We still have about a handful of those that have not been complying or are a part of a code enforcement case. We are also proposing to bring those non-compliant residents for men that don't have mandatory garbage service before our nuisance abatement hearing board. Currently, we are operating the Oakdale drop-off. It's open Fridays and Saturdays. We collect bulky items only at this location. The current cost is $10 per load. Last year, we serviced just over 1,000 customers, and they brought in 215 tons of bulky items. The previous year, we had the rotating collection events in the unincorporated bulky item collection events in the unincorporated area. We've discontinued those, but also partnered with Planning and Community Development in their neighborhood collections to provide bulky item collection. In place of that, we have your board adopted the curbside bulky item collection program in August of last year. And since that program has been implemented, we've had 757 participants with 242 tons of bulky items collected from the curbside. Last year's startup cost was $1.50 per household per month, which allowed them two bulky item collections per year. During the first 8 months of the program, the cost range from the franchise haulers from 22 cents per household to 96 cents per household. Staff is recommending the continuation of the pilot program for one additional year at a program cost of 55 cents per household per month. Planning and Community Development and the Redevelopment Agency, as well as Environmental Resources, have hosted six cleanup events from April of 2007 to March 2008. We collected 261 tons of garbage, 3,000 tires, at a cost of $38,951. Just to give you an idea of the results of some of our typical cleanups, you'll see the before picture on the left and the after picture on the right. Our household hazardous waste collection facility. During this past 12 months, we've collected 455,979 pounds of household hazardous waste. For our e-waste program, we've collected 223,640 pounds of electronic waste, and from April of 2007 to March of 2008. And at this time, staff is not recommending the implementation of a mobile e-waste collection program due to the cost. And the other reason we're not recommending that at this time is if you look throughout the newspapers, there are several other entities that are offering e-waste collections almost on a monthly basis throughout Stanislaus County, either by a public agency or by private agencies, which provides opportunities for people to dispose of e-waste other than at our facility, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 9 to 1. Currently, there's a legislation which, if this bill is enacted, it would provide grant funding to local governments to help clean up local dump sites. And right now, we've been tracking this legislation and with the hopes that this will be enacted and funds will be available for local entities. We also have an education program, part of which you saw the results of this evening with our recycling poster contest. Our staff's done 32 presentations over the last year. We've had contact with over 950 students. We've worked in 10 of the county's library and participated in preschool programs, as well as educating 390 preschoolers on not littering. Our incentive program is alive and well. This allows an individual who has been dumped on in the unincorporated area to bring their the material that has been illegally disposed of on their property to the Fink Road landfill. They sign a voucher that states that this material was illegally dumped on their property. And we have about 1 to 2 people a month taking advantage of this program. And now I believe Matt Machado will take the next couple slides.
Thank you, Sonia. Our no dumping sign program has been successful. About a year ago, we focused on 6 areas where there was a high rate of illegal dumping. We placed 48 signs and saw a noticeable reduction in illegal dumping. Of those 48 signs, 44 are still in place, and we plan to replace the 4 that have been missing. So that's been a successful program. The next activity was the Adopt a Road program. We developed an application package. This was an effort to partner with private organizations to keep our roadways clean. We do have one organization that is partnering with us, and that program is moving forward. The next program is our alley cleanup. Some time ago, a pilot program moved forward. We looked at a gate system in 5 locations. 4 of those locations were unsuccessful, with the gates either being taken apart, removed, gates left open. We looked at a new program, and that was to abandon the alleys completely. We looked at 3 areas: the Del Este subdivision, Modesto High School track subdivision, and Olympic track subdivision. One of the main concerns that we had, and we did some research on, was the utilities in those existing alleyways. In all 3 locations, there were 3 utility companies that had utilities in those alleys: AT&T, MID, and the City of Modesto Water System. We sent out letters during the winter months to discuss with them whether this would be an option for us. In all cases, the response was negative. The utility companies did not want to lose their direct access to the utilities. So this program, this approach does not seem feasible at this point, so we're not recommending this pilot program. We will continue looking at other programs that may be successful. This one just didn't seem to be an appropriate solution at this point. So then, to move into our recommendations, I'll turn it back to Sonia.
Our staff recommendations are to accept the legal dumping status report, to approve continuing the illegal dumping abatement activities, revise the cost after discontinuing the 2 deputies for the investigation, which would be a reduction in $213,012, authorize the continuation of the residential bulky item collection program in the unincorporated areas. This is operated by our franchise companies, and we're recommending that it run through July 31st of 2009 at a cost of 55 cents per household. And just in case anyone would like to get a hold of us, we have our 877-2-ASSIST line. They can call our environmental resources directly, public works, or the sheriff's office. And our recommendation is to legally dispose of all waste. At this time, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to attempt to answer them.
Is there any questions? Seeing no questions, then we need to move ahead with this.
I'd like to make some comments about it. I don't have any questions.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't think you wanted to talk.
I always have something to say, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, this is a particular issue. It's of great importance to me. The illegal dumping out on ag lands and in South Modesto has reached epidemic proportions at time. But I have seen an improvement before. Out in the country, I noticed that there's a little bit less trash, and it's being picked up considerably sooner. And when that happens, you know, the trash pile, if it stays out there for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it just seems to keep growing. And a person going by that trash pile says, well, that other guy got away with it, so I'm just going to dump mine there too. And pretty soon you got a huge mound there. But I think that the county has done a pretty good job in dealing with this problem, from the inmate labor to the cleanups in unincorporated areas, community cleanups, electronic waste disposal, hazardous household waste disposal. And we've really done a pretty good job considering how bad the problem is when we first started. So I'm real happy with the progress. I'd like to see all the illegal dumping stop. And that's probably unrealistic, but it certainly looks like we have a handle on it and we're making progress now.
I'd like to concur with the comments of the supervisor. We have almost always been getting next day service when we call in something that's dumped in, and occasionally a same day service, which is quite remarkable. I think it's in this day and age a rare thing when we see a fee reduced by 2/3 on the bulky item pickups. I'd like to commend you on that.
And I'll make comments too, since everybody else
okay,
is.
Okay.
It's kind of like graffiti. The sooner you get rid of the problem, the it seems like the less likely it is to see it reoccur. And that's what I'm seeing in my district. Are my usual dump sites that I see out there aren't occurring. And I know Supervisor DeMartini and I worked a long time on this and threw out all kinds of ideas that some worked and some didn't. So we appreciate all your help.
You guys still driving around in a pickup with a shovel?
I haven't done that in a long time.
There's an idea.
Wait a minute. Is that a motion? Do you make a motion, Bill?
I will if staff is ready for one.
Well, I'd just like to thank the sheriff and his staff, because the partnership over the last 18 months between the landfill staff and the sheriff's department has been just absolutely incredible. And I just wanted to publicly thank him.
So moved.
No, we're ready for that motion.
So moved.
Okay, moved by Bill O'Brien, seconded by who?
I'll second it.
Jeff Grover. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried 4-0. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now we have to go back now to B10. And now we have Patty Hill Thomas, Sonia Herringville, Raul. Okay, here we go.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Patty Hill Thomas from the Chief Executive Office. We are very proud to bring you recommendations tonight to proceed with the Regional Water Safety Training Center, the Empire Community Pool Project. Before we present our specific recommendations to you, I'd like to introduce our team. They include Sonia Herringville and Raul Mendez, who will participate in our presentation tonight, along with Margarita Ramos, Kathy Gomez from our Parks Department, Don Femister and Randy Cavanaugh, and Tim Fedorchik from Capital Projects. I'd like to thank our new County Council, Jack, who's just been a terrific legal support to us during this effort. And there are many people in the audience who I know are here with the interest in being part of this event tonight. I'd like to also introduce you to our recommended general contractor for this project, who's in the audience. It's Steve Deedy, president of Deedy Construction Company from Lodi, California. He's joined by Jeff Gilbertson and Cody Deedy in the back of the room. And thank you for being here. As I said earlier, we're very proud to be here tonight. This has been a long effort. And your Board of Supervisors in late 2004 took the first step in moving toward creating an opportunity and a very unique partnership with the community of Empire that we think can be a regional model and serve that region of the county well. And even though what we have before you tonight is a recommendation to proceed with a construction contract, this is really not about a construction project. This is really about a community with a lot of heart and inspiration, a community that cares and has joined with their county government and other agencies such as the school district, private donors, irrigation districts, and I could go on and on to try to make a difference. This is about a community coming together in the face of a tragedy and vowing to make a difference. And before we get into our specific recommendations, it's really appropriate for us tonight as your staff to tell you that we recognize that these are tough budget times and that it's a very difficult time in our economy for our citizens and a very difficult time for public agencies to take on new projects and new initiatives. And while this project has been in the works for a very long time, and as you already know and you'll see tonight, has dedicated funding for its construction, it's important to acknowledge up front that the community joined with us, and tonight we'll be able to to assure you that not only are the construction dollars available, but the full cost of operating and maintaining this regional swimming facility for a three-year period are dedicated by the community and in the bank of the Stanislaus Foundation, as well as the first full year of operating and recreation costs. So while these are difficult budget times, we are really pleased to bring forward a plan to you that we think will make this project sustainable well into the future. Again, it's about a community making a difference. And what we'd like to do is go through our recommendations and then acknowledge that there are some people in the audience that would like to address your board tonight. So let's go forward. In the face of a great tragedy in the summer of 2003, this community united to make a difference. And from the very first action that your Board of Supervisors considered, as well as the state of California in authorizing grant funds, this effort was envisioned to be a safe place to learn to swim and a recreational alternative to canals and rivers. And you'll see that the priorities identified from the beginning of the project through today are focused on the safety, a place to swim, a place to learn, and family fun space. On October 3rd, 2006, your Board of Supervisors approved the selection of Aquatic Design Group as the design architect for a design-build project. Concept drawings were prepared, and contractors were pre-qualified. Two proposals were received from two great local general contractors. They've been thoroughly evaluated and re-evaluated. And as I mentioned earlier, project funding for operations, maintenance, and first-year programming has been secured. The next step in this effort, and what's recommended tonight, is that the Board of Supervisors award the design-build construction contract to DD Construction for a project scheduled to be completed in May of 2009. I'd like to turn it now to Sonia.
And I'd like to just go through a little bit of the funding strategies that we chose in order to provide the construction funding for the Empire Pool project. In November 2004, the Board of Supervisors authorized us to apply for a $1 million grant from the California Urban Parks and Healthy Communities Program. And that grant was awarded shortly a year after that. We also are planning to use $497,038 of public facilities fees. Tobacco tax funding is earmarked at $1 million. We also applied for a stewardship grant, and we were awarded $200,000 for the construction of the pool. And I'd just like to commend the Empire community because up until this point, they have raised $165,000 in cold, hard cash that has been deposited in the Stanislaus Foundation. In addition, we have many of our local contractors who have offered to partner with us, such as Rob Briquette and Briquette Plastering has agreed to do all the plaster work, not only for the lap pool, but also for the recreational play area. We will also have many opportunities for the community to help with the finishing touches of this project. This is the Empire Community Park as it sits today. If you notice the shade shelter on the top of the picture, just to the right of that would be the location of the pool. Now I'd like to describe the pool project. The project includes a 5-lane, 25-yard lap pool. And on the east side of the pool, there will be stairs with handrails going down, which is an ideal design for teaching young children or teaching children who are afraid to enter the water swim lessons. We'll also have a 706-square-foot recreational playground area. It's kind of a piece of play equipment that has water activities associated with it. We'll also have a small turfed area with picnic tables and a shade shelter, a lifeguard and first aid facility, and an opportunity for concessions. If you look on the pictures on the right, those are conceptual drawings that have been provided by our contractor. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Raul.
The following slides basically detail the recommended funding plan for this pool project. As Patty indicated, it does include 3 years of funding at $180,000 or $60,000 annually for what we identified as operation and maintenance. That includes everything from utilities, chemicals, janitorial services, and other general maintenance. In addition, we also are presenting to you a recommended funding plan, which includes a 1-year programs administered through the Stanislaus County Police Activities League, which I know is represented here this evening by their staff. That is at a annual cost of $40,000. I have the privilege of attending, as most of you know, Municipal Advisory Council meetings on a monthly basis throughout the community of Stanislaus County. Have had an opportunity, obviously, to attend the Empire Municipal Advisory Council meetings over the course of the development of this project and obviously leading towards the recommended plan this evening. As part of those meetings, I have noticed that this project has basically been the number one priority for the community. And as is evident by the folks that are here today, we do have numerous partners that have basically stepped up, worked collaboratively not only with the county, but with the Empire Municipal Advisory Council, the local school district, and other local community stakeholders, and more importantly, the community, which is also represented in full force here today. In front of you is a list of these partners, which include obviously the Municipal Advisory Council, the Stanislaus County Parks and Recreation Commission, Police Activities League, and I also like to highlight that county staff and local partners are currently in the process of developing or working with the community to develop a nonprofit foundation which would ultimately support the ongoing maintenance and operation of the pool project once constructed. This would be funding that would be collected by this group on an annual basis in full support of all the operations at the at the pool, which include obviously operation and maintenance and then obviously the ongoing programs. Oops. Excuse me, got a little ahead of myself there. There's a list of partners. In addition to those already mentioned, I know that the irrigation districts have been a partner from day one. We are currently in the process of developing education programs with the local Modesto Irrigation District and also the Turlock Irrigation District. In addition, there are other individuals and private donors that have supported this project through their donations directly to the Empire Pool Committee and the Stanislaus Community Foundation. We are in the process of continuing to develop future opportunities to partner. And that would include, again, the ongoing maintenance and operation and the programs. At this point, I'd like to turn it back over to Patty.
This next slide just gives a sense of some of the concepts and vision for this effort. And Mr. Chairman, I think it would be appropriate to recognize the efforts of Supervisor O'Brien, who's been at meeting after meeting in the community and really helped bring together this opportunity for us to partner in this way. We have 7 recommendations before you tonight. They are to ask you to approve the conditional award of the construction contract to DD Construction for a total amount of $2,298,058, which is the base bid, and 4 deductive alternates, number 1s, 2s, 3s, and 5s, all of which will be provided by donated materials. We ask you that you direct the auditor controller to make the appropriate budget and revenue changes in the county budget, that you authorize the project manager to issue the notice to proceed to the contractor upon receipt of proper insurance and bonds, and to negotiate the appropriate work and purchase orders and agreements and professional services in accordance with our existing policy, all within the project budget, that you accept the generous donation of funds from the Empire Pool Fundraising Committee for the 3-year funding plan into the county treasury, authorize the acceptance of donated labor and materials consistent with our donated materials policy, and authorize the county to participate in a groundbreaking ceremony with the community of Empire and the region to celebrate the completion of the design and the beginning of construction. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we would be very happy to answer any questions you may have.
Is there, I know you want to talk.
You bet I do.
Okay. Just a minute. Is there any questions of the board? And the board members have any questions? Betty Parker, do you have a note up here? Do you want to talk about it? Okay, come on up.
Good evening, Chairman Mayfield and board members. The Community Regional Water Safety Safety Training Center, that's a mouthful, so I'll just refer to it as a pool. The community of Empire has shown their support for the pool by raising over $165,000 from local businesses and individuals. That's a lot of money for Empire to raise. The pool will provide a safe recreational and water safety training center for the eastern rural area of Stanislaus County. Swimming lessons will keep children and adults out of the rivers and canals. We do not want another tragic accident. The pool will be a safe environment for summer fun. There is very little for the youth to do in Empire. Thank you for your past support for the tot lot and our beautiful park. Now we ask that you support the number one thing the community wanted in the park, a swimming pool. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Bill. Warren, you want to talk to? Okay, come on up. Hi.
Good evening again. First of all, as the chairman of the Empire Municipal Advisory Council, I would like to thank Supervisor O'Brien for all his support in the process of getting all this information gathered. Also, the CEO's office, the Parks and Recreation Department, and putting on my other hat as a park commissioner for Stanislaus County District 1, I would like to urge you to vote positive for this recommendation to start construction of this pool. Thank you.
Thank you, Warren. Okay, Bill, would you like to talk before they go crazy back there?
I sure would.
Okay, before they bring all the signs up. Go ahead, Bill.
As you know, this did start from a tragedy. We lost 3 young brothers to the Tuolumne River back in 2004, and that was the starting point of where we are tonight. There are hundreds of people to thank, from staff members who work so hard, from MAC members, from school leaders out in Empire, from people who donated their hard-earned cash to this project. But there's one person I really want to identify tonight as someone who never let up on this project. And kids, we're real close, a couple minutes away from knowing if we're going to get this pool. But once we do, there's someone to thank, and that's Deputy Vento, Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department, who works so hard. Sir, I want to thank you for all your hard work in this project. And everywhere I went, I saw you out there just continuing this fight to get this pull. So thank you. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be more than happy to make a motion of all staff recommendations.
Okay. Do we need a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Second by Jeff Grover. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Bring up the signs, you
thank
guys.
You.
Bring them up. Thank you. You've been waiting all night long to do that, I know. It was your time. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, with that, we have no one else to speak. Let's go down to correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Okay, we acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management. Is there any Board of Supervisors reports? Jim?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tomorrow night, we will have a meeting.
Wait a second. Let's clear it out. We all want to hear what you're going to tell us. Where are you going?
We came to say thank you for the book.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Dean Martini, let's have it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tomorrow night at the Bonita School in Crow's Landing, we're going to have a community meeting to discuss how to put together a community watch program, a neighborhood watch. With some valuable help from the Sheriff's Department that's going to be there, we'll be showing you how to set these up. We have some people coming from Newman and Crow's Landing. In South Modesto, within the last year and a half, we have two of these neighborhood watches started, and now there's some interest in starting one in Crow's Landing and also in Newman. Now, if there was ever a way to take control of your neighborhood, reduce crime, illegal dumping, and getting the neighbors together to take care of their own community, certainly these neighborhood watches are the way to do it. So for those of you who are interested, you don't have to especially live on the west side, but if you're interested in starting a neighborhood watch, we're going to show you how to do it tomorrow night.
Okay, is that it?
That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Jeff, you got something for us?
I don't.
Okay, how about Bill O'Brien?
No, sir.
Okay. With that, we'll go down to the legislative, physical, and management report by the Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, thank you. As you all know by now, the Governor's May revise was issued last week. I would like to report good news. However, there isn't any relative to the May revise. The proposal does include significant cuts to both health and social services programs, and most significantly to the County General Fund is an extreme exposure in our in-home supportive services program. Under the existing proposal, governor would roll back funding for salaries for IHSS home workers to minimum wage, which is $8 an hour, and if counties retained current wages, they would be responsible to pick up the additional cost, which is something over $2 million general fund money to Stanislaus County. I will be attending the CSAC Ledge Conference for one day tomorrow. We expect some more information. Elizabeth Hill will be speaking in the morning, and then a number of other representatives will be speaking to the state budget and the with specificity to the May revise and options and alternatives that might exist to begin to address the significant impacts to local governments.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay, with 11 people, with 11 people left, we're adjourned.